Come take my hand and see the world around you. The time is right, just let the light surround you. And step by step, you feel it coming alive. The feeling deep down inside, and you've got nothing to hide. To reach the top, you've gotta keep on moving. Don't let it stop, just gotta keep on moving. I know you're doing your best, you're stepping up from the rest. Just keep on passing the test. Happy, happy Tuesday. Happy Tuesday to you. If it is Tuesday, it is time once again to get powered up with Untapped Potential with Dr. Simone right here on TDN Radio. It is so great to be back with you for another episode of Untapped Potential as we get powered up and energized for the week ahead and as we remind ourselves of the important life goals that we have set out for ourselves. So looking at the calendar, it is Tuesday, April 11th. So as always, the month is quickly speeding by. And so this is why we are here every Tuesday to remind ourselves on what do we need to do this week to get ourselves on track for that goal that we said to ourselves that we were going to achieve this year. So this is our accountability tool in terms of keeping us on track with those goals that we have set out for ourselves, and the weekly reminder that Untapped Potential provides to remind us to keep working on those goals. You know, sometimes it feels like the journey is endless, that we will never get there. But with persistence, with perseverance, anything is possible. So I want you to look past any obstacles that you're facing right now. And if you can go through the obstacle, then go around the obstacle. If you keep getting no, just keep telling yourself that, you know, you are on the way to a yes. So every no that you receive, you can cross it out and keep thinking to yourself that that means your yes is closer than you think. So again, it is great to be here with you for another episode of Untapped Potential with Dr. Simone right here on TDN Radio. We always bring you a valuable conversation. We bring you some great music, a tip of the week, and then we talk about our own goals in terms of moving our Dominican people, our Caribbean region forward with what we are trying to accomplish for our people. So again, welcome to the program. We always like to start the program, excuse me, on a note of gratitude. So what are you grateful for today? As for me, I'm always grateful for another day of life. I'm always grateful for another day of health, especially, you know, when you receive those phone calls that yet another young person, only 45 years old, has succumbed to cancer, to breast cancer. So, you know, you think of everyone who is suffering with some sort of ailment, some sort of disease, some sort of challenge that they're facing. So we are grateful for life. We're grateful for another day of life. Despite the challenges that we're facing, we are grateful that we are still here and we have the opportunity to face those challenges. So again, welcome to the program. We're also grateful Sunday gone by was Easter Sunday. So we're grateful for faith. We are grateful for those of us who believe in faith, who believe in that there's a higher power. We are grateful for faith to take us through those difficult and challenging times and for the support system that most of us enjoy when times are difficult. So again, we have another great program for you this evening right here on Untapped Potential. Our conversation this evening is going to be on toxic masculinity, because in Dominica, we ended and started 2023 on a terrible note. On December 31st, we lost one lady to domestic violence from her partner. And then on January 1st, the very next day, we lost another young lady to domestic violence. So it has become rampant in Dominica, and we need to address this. So we had a conversation just recently on toxic masculinity and the changing gender roles, because many men are finding it difficult to accept that some of their wives or girlfriends are earning more income than they, and just a variation of issues that they may be encountering. So how do we deal with toxic masculinity, and what can be done about it? So I want to bring you this particular conversation on the topic. We had two young pastors out of Dominica, Pastor Dexter as well as Pastor Vaughn, and we also had a cultural icon and a sexual abuse, well, domestic abuse, I should say, a domestic abuse advocate, someone who's on the forefront fighting against domestic abuse. Mr. Ras Moses joined us to have this conversation on toxic masculinity. So I want to bring you that program. As a matter of fact, I think it is so important. I will play you the first portion today, and then next week I will bring you the second portion of this program, because I think that those are some of the conversations that we have to keep going. We cannot lose two young women in Dominica and simply sweep the issue under the carpet. It has to be addressed, and it has to be addressed now. So that is going to be our interview, our conversation for today on Untapped Potential. And then you will want to stay tuned till the end of the program as we continue to talk about our tip of the week, as well as everything we are doing to move our Dominican and Caribbean people forward. So let's enjoy this number as we get the program off and going. This one from Hermina George and Mr. Arnold Tulor, "This Land of Mine," because we are all interested in celebrating where we come from. So whether you come from Dominica, you come from the US, Canada, or beyond those borders, we all are interested in celebrating where we come from. So enjoy this number from Hermina George, composed by Mr. Arnold Tulor, "This Land of Mine," and then stay tuned for our conversation on toxic masculinity, as well as the rest of the program. Stay tuned.
Across the sky, the sun has sent its colors straight to my eyes, and I know, yes, I know, this is my cry. I love this land of mine. The country air is blowing, the mangoes fall, a valley's mist is glowing, a waterfall. So I know, yes, I know, this is my cry. I love this land of mine. We'll build this land of ours as we move from strength. Say like that, and no. from the vines. Oh, I know, yes, I know. This is my cry. I love this land of mine. We'll build this land of ours as we move from strength to strength, gaining every nation's respect, humbled but better yet.
In us as a community. And one of the ways we're going to do this is by once and for all tackling this issue of domestic violence and the various aspects that contribute to domestic violence. So again, we're happy to be here. And you know, one of the things that we started talking about with the panel, even before they came on, is I thought, as I said in the beginning, it is important not only to talk about our men, talk about our young boys, but to hear from them. So I gave them an assignment before they came on the program, and I am happy to report that Dexter had the opportunity to follow through on that. We all know everybody has busy schedules, so we can certainly understand that not everyone would have the time. But Dexter, tell us what the question was that we set out to ask young men in our Dominican society and the feedback that you received. You're muted.
It is rather interesting. And the question that was asked was one that really got my attention. And I really wanted to find out from the young men what were their thoughts. And so I called one young man that I know, a young brother, and I decided to ask him the question. And the question is, and I'm going to read the question. And I think I have the wrong thing there. Okay. As you get ready for manhood, what does being a man mean to you? As you get ready for manhood, what does being a man mean to you? And the very first young man that I ask, he is around 16 years old. And I'm going to recite his exact words. To me, it means I have to become more responsible. Know what you are doing, and you have to listen to what others have to say. He also added, finding a good job so you won't be broke. The second young man the question was posed to, he responded by saying, being mature and responsible and always set your goals straight. The third one was really interesting due to his choice of words. He stated, it means to me being strong and keeping your head in the game. The final young man responded by saying, it means not being afraid to show people who you are, exactly as you are. It's never being afraid to show your emotions, embracing the differences of others, and uplifting those around you. So these were the comments and on the four young men that I posed this question to.
Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you so much for that. So we're already seeing themes emerging, responsibility, being strong, staying in the game. Vaughn, Rasmo, you have anything you would like to contribute? Were you surprised by the responses from these young men? What are your thoughts so far?
Well,
can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead. Vaughn, I'm coming to you.
Okay, yeah. So they seem to have a perception of what manhood is, which all young men or boys do, you know. So, but the whole thing of caring and being responsible and being economically independent, you know, the whole thing of life as a game, the game, what is the game? Because, I mean, for the young generation, it can be interpreted in different ways. So I do men's work, and my workshops about manhood, that's how I start to ask the young men about what is a man, just the question. And they're supposed to write what it is. And we discuss it. And it's about that responsibility. That's a common theme, you know? And so the topic is quite interesting in that gender roles are changing, mm-hmm. you know? And so, but they still have that. They have to be responsible for taking care of their families economically, you know, and in some cases, the pressure they feel to do that can have, you know, devastating effects. So,
yes.
But it's interesting. Yes, in an urban setting in the United States, it's different. You know, it's basically the same thing of make money, but, you know, it's like music and popular culture has an influence. Mm-hmm. You know, so, and popular culture, you know, has especially targeting Black men and people of color, you know, because in hip hop you have get rich or die trying, you know,
mm-hmm. and there's a lot of pressure on the young men,
right? You know, so, yeah, I can talk about how I try to undo that.
Mm-hmm. But, so we'll get to that towards the latter part of the program. So yeah. We'll get to that towards how do we reverse it, role models, and all the work that you do in that area. But Vaughn, let me come over to you for your thoughts.
Yes, I must say that I'm very impressed by the responses of the gentlemen and the mere fact that they keep highlighting, you know, being able to hold on your responsibilities, that is key for me, you know, when approaching manhood. And also one of them speaks of maturity, and that shows, you know, your mental capacity. Psychologically, you have to be ready to face this world as a man and be prepared, you know. And in a nutshell, they have it covered. They have it covered, you know. So it's very impressive from them.
Bless them. And again, Dexter, I want to thank you for taking the extra step and reaching out to our young men, because again, we need to keep hearing for them. What are they experiencing? Because as we know, and we're going to get more into toxic masculinity, one of the problems with toxic masculinity is that boys and men are not given permission to express their feelings. They're not given permission to say that I'm hurting, that, you know, I need help. So I think it is so important that we continue to reach out to them. But as we have you guys here, and again, we're happy that you're joining us, let us talk about growing up in Dominica as men. We have men from two different generations. So let us look at how you were socialized as boys. What were the influences? Where did the influences come from? Your peers, your older relatives, members of your church, members of your school, your teachers. Just let us have this conversation about what were the influences in you, especially as it relates to how you saw girls and how you saw women. What was the role of a girl? What was the role of a woman? What was instilled in you? So that is the conversation I want us to have for the next couple of minutes. So Rasmo, let me come to you and let's just talk about how you were socialized and what was instilled in you as it relates to the roles of men and women in society.
So as I said in my last, when I was introducing myself, I got pulled out of elementary school. So I missed between 9 and 13. From 13, you go to high school. I miss that socialization part. So I can't play sports, not even cricket. I can't play cricket. I can't play football, you know, and all that stuff. So that's where you learn competition. You know, sports are healthy, but, you know, they create a sort of machismo comes in there. You know, so I missed a whole lot of that. I didn't know what I was missing, right? So I didn't get that. My friends did. So when I went to play a game on a day, there wasn't school with them. They were a clique already. They knew the ropes, you know, and all that stuff. I didn't, you know, and so it didn't hurt because I tried to reflect on it. But as I got older, I realized by the time I got to high school, you know, I couldn't kick a ball. I couldn't, you know what I mean? I couldn't. So, you know, but the thing is, the ancestors work in strange ways. I picked up a drum and I picked up a pen, you know, and my mother, she taught me to write. So, you know, my father, like I said, he was all over the island working. He was a police officer who later became a magistrate, you know. But so I had uncles. I spent summer holidays with my uncle in Trafalgar, you know. And so I saw what he did, you know. He had a garden. He had animals. He took care of his family, that type of stuff. So, and I had good relationships with all my aunts and uncles.
Mm-hmm. But let me ask you, Rasmo, what did you learn in terms of the roles of men and women in society while you were growing up during this time?
Traditional roles, you know.
Right, right.
You know, those who were married, you know, the men were in charge. Talking about my uncle, you know, he took care of, you know, his household and his outside children, that type of stuff. It's just like the boys talking about, you know, I mean, that's your main goal in life, is to be, take care of people, you know, and so that's what I saw, you know, but I make myself a promise, if I ever had children, you know, I take care of them, you know, I have four, and we cool, with one woman though.
Excellent, even better. Even better. Dexter, let me come over to you. The roles that you learned about men and women growing up.
I will try to keep it simple, but I would like to break it down into two parts. Mm-hmm. My experience growing up in the rural parts of Dominica, that's in Bells. And I also had experience growing up in Fonkoli, that's in Tongue, Rosa North. In the rural parts of Dominica, the time spent there was spent making cabaway. It was spent making trucks. It was spent making catapults and going to hunt birds and going in the river. That was it. In town, however, it was different. We played a different type of game. For some reason in town, we usually played house. Mommy and daddy, and these types of games. And so it was always different for me when it was in town and when it was country. I would prefer the rural parts because I had more fun up there. I always preferred going out. But when it comes to the roles of males and females, I was always taught, and I always observed that the men were always the head of the house. That is how I was raised. The women would have the responsibility of taking care of the home, etc. And so me growing up and observing these things, these were some of the things that really helped shape my way of thinking when it comes to gender roles.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
Avon. Yes. For me, growing up, on the east side, you know, rural area again, I grew up with playing the lights, with the guys playing, you know, tops, you know, and Vepti, and what we call sec, you know, and bursting canoe, you know, and those stuff. And like Brother Dexter said, I had my fair share of playing and what we call bedel. So make those little houses, those shacks. And yes, one would be the daddy and one would be the mommy, you know. And that was my livelihood growing up as a young boy. And then stemming into a teenage, you know, level, you know, exposed to my peers. And as you know well, coming from the background of the church, I grew up with a pastor and my aunt was his wife. So I got that interaction from the church too, as to understanding the roles of a man and also as a husband. And also from my father, I saw my father bring up all of his children, those he had outside, those he had inside, He took care of all of them. And that stuck with me, that you should always have that responsibility covered. But some of the times that I deviated from some of the principles that I was taught at home was when I really started mingling with my peers, closely to the end of high school. You know, I started to deviate a bit from what I was taught, you know, to be more responsible growing up. And that came as a result of interaction with some of my peers. But what I was taught and what was instilled in me helped me to return back to, you know, a sense of responsibility as a young man growing up. So I praise Almighty Yahweh for that. But as Brother Dexter was saying, the roles of men, male and female, were clearly defined. I always known the man to be the leader, sort of shepherd of his home, and the wife at his side to help him, you know, and so forth. We see that changing in society today, and there's a number of reasons why it has changed, it has shifted a bit. And nevertheless, I believe that the man should always be a man and to have his house grounded, his responsibilities under control.
Yes, yes. And I want to thank you all for your very candid responses, because I think that is what we need in a conversation like this. I don't want it to be sugarcoated. I don't want it to you to think, oh, you know, let me say this response, because this is what people want to hear. And I see all the Facebook comments that are already coming in. So yes, Facebook, YouTube, I want you to be a part of the conversation. So go ahead and post those messages. Don't forget to share the live, let everyone know that we're here. So gentlemen, correct me if I'm wrong, but pretty much what I'm hearing you saying is that your experience in general were traditional roles, expectations that the woman in general was expected to take care of the home and the man was expected to earn the money and take care of the financial responsibilities. So the question we are asking this evening is, what happens when there's a shift? Like Vaughn said, what happens when there's a shift and women, for example, start taking on what is more of what is quote unquote the male responsibility of earning the income? Some women at this point are earning even higher salaries than their husbands. What is the outcome, the result? And as we're seeing in Dominica, the shift in gender roles can potentially be one of the reasons that we experience domestic violence. And, you know, I don't want us to take a very myopic view on this topic, because there are a plethora of reasons that domestic violence exists. So we cannot just simply zone in on one particular issue. It could be their mental health challenges that we need to consider. There are other challenges that we need to consider. But I think one of the major reasons is because the gender roles are changing. And unfortunately, some of our men in society have a difficult time dealing with those changes. So let us go ahead and start talking about toxic masculinity. And we know that for decades, men have faced the cultural pressure to conform to an unhealthy and unrealistic image of what it means to be masculine. Boys will be boys, boys don't cry, or take it like a man has come face to face with toxic masculinities. So here are some of the characteristics. Toughness. Men should be physically strong and emotionally stoic, so show no emotion. Dominance. Men should be in a position of power, and this earns them respect. Anti-femininity. Men shouldn't possess traits that are traditionally considered to be feminine, such as asking for help or showing emotion. Being physically or emotionally aggressive, not asking for help when needed, being sexually promiscuous, having a playboy image, having lots of babies, especially outside of the home, seeking dominance to the point that it harms others, taking risk, not engaging in activities traditionally viewed as feminine, like child rearing or housework. How boys are socialized to view girls and women and the implications of this socialization. How can this socialization be reversed? So that was quite a mouthful, but I want you to comment on this concept of toxic masculinity. Does anything resonate with you as I explained the information? Rasmo, I can tell you want to jump in, so go ahead.
Yeah, because I mean, like, what you just read is a reflection of how I teach and what I teach. But is what I teach, but the how is through poetry, mm-hmm. a song, right? So if I'm working with a North American urban group of young men, I use hip hop, you know. If I'm working in Grand Bay, I use Creole, Caras, you know, mm-hmm. that type of stuff, right? And so it's a way to touch them, you know, because, but I wanted to say something that Dexter spoke of, and the difference between the urban and the rural setting, you know, and it's also different too, because as when you become an adolescent, and between the ages of 13 and 15, when your body's going through those changes, that's something, it can be so confusing for anybody, mm-hmm. anywhere, in any culture, right? And so the influences, right? And so the primary source of information you have is your peers, right? And so, and that's where the toxicity starts. I lost some of that, like I said, until I got a high school, you know, because then, you know, my peers, in terms of age, were discussing stuff in dailies I wasn't aware of, right? And so I get to the city, right? And I discover stuff. I hear of stuff and I discover stuff, including, you know, what they call a lineup. Okay, and so, because then I was able to spread my wings and be part of a group. In Dominica, for carnival, you have what you call gangs. Carnival gangs, they're not violent gangs, but the carnival groups, right? At the time, they call them gangs. Even though I think they still use the term T-shirt, it's T-shirt groups, but it should be T-shirt and, you know, you have your costume. You're about same age, 13, 14, 15. You know, you get together, you plan, design on which cloth you're going to buy, go to the tailor, get your suits made and all that stuff. So it was interesting stuff. And among that group, I used to hear of lineups, you know. And so from then, you know, sexuality and all that stuff. Man, I was so protected in Dallas. I never knew about homosexuality until I was around second form, almost in third form, in grammar school. I didn't know they were same gender relations, sexual relations, until then. So that's a lot of ignorance, you know. Mm-hmm. You have to at least know it exists.
Right, right. So you're saying that one of the factors that we have to consider is if our young people are growing up in urban or rural environments.
Yeah, so that's one of the things to consider. And so the pressure to be sexually active, when you say like between 16 and 18, I mean, you have to be getting it as a man.
Mm.
And girls are labeled.
And if you're not, they call experimenting, you Marco. Which is, they call you Marco if you're not getting it?
Man, let me tell you that. I think I got labeled gay.
Adults only. Put the kids to bed.
I got labeled as gay because, one, I was into culture, right? So I wasn't into sports, right? I was into culture, right? I like dancing. But even the girls in the dance group say, you better drum because that's what you do better. That was a blessing because my drum take me all around the world, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's you know. And when my children's mother introduced herself to someone as Rasmus' partner, he said, "What, Rasmus again?" All his life he thought, and he knew me well. And this is a man we were traveling on Canadian Airlines. We slept in the same room in Antigua. At the time, you had to stop in Antigua, right? And I shared time with him. And when she told me that, I was so surprised. I said, but what could all that time the man thinking about me as a gay man?
Right. You know? I think what you're helping us to understand, Rasmus, is that there's so much pressure especially when boys become 16, 17, there's a lot of pressure. Dexter already told us that they feel that overwhelming sense that the financial pressure is going to be on them. And it begs the question, is that one of the reasons we're seeing so much violence among our young men? Because they're feeling that pressure to be, you know, have the bling, have the gold to attract the girls, have the money to attract the girls, that it's resulting in violence to the point where they're killing each other, right? So I think what we're getting from you is that there is a lot of pressure on young men. And when we look at toxic masculinity, which says that you're not allowed to talk about this pressure that you're feeling, then unfortunately what happens is that some of our young men explode into violence. But I want to come over to you, Vaughn, and then to you, Dexter, to get your impressions, your thoughts, what resonated with you with regards to what exactly is toxic masculinity. And do you see it in your own lives?
Yes. One of the points that stuck with me from you just briefing on toxic masculinity is the emotional part. You know, growing up, you get that feedback that man has to be always macho and big men don't cry, quote unquote. And as you rightfully stated, all that emotion is bottled inside there, you know, and eventually you're going to explode. And that results in a lot of fits of anger, rage, and violence. And so what we realize now is a lot of people are waking up because of programs like this, and psychologists who take their time and to help men to understand it's okay to cry. Mm-hmm. It's okay to break down and share emotion. You know, sometimes you feel the weight of the world on your shoulder, but it's okay to lean on another shoulder rather than believing that you're a man and you're an island, you stand alone. Because there's a proverb, no man is an island, no man stands alone. So, you know, growing up, you get that kind of feedback when it comes to manhood, that you should not show so much of an emotion. And that has affected our men tremendously. And another area you touch is the aspect of responsibilities in the home. But if I were to take it from a spiritual perspective, when Almighty Yahweh created man, man had responsibilities from creation. So in other words, man was already created to take care of the home. And so when the woman came, she came to assist him to carry out the roles that he was already undertaking. And in the bracket, in the sense of marriage, in the parameters of marriage, a woman earning a bigger salary than you should never be looked up as a problem, because when you are married, you are one. So it's one currency. And so I have weaknesses and you have strengths, and you have strength and I have weaknesses. When we come together in that setting, we don't look at each other in a form of competitiveness. And that's the reason why we find some men, because of their ego, if the woman is getting more income than them, then you find that they lack some self-confidence. But it's okay for my wife to manage the finances and bring in the bigger salary, because we're working together. But growing up, you get that sense that the man, you know, should always, you know, always have the bigger portion and always have the final say. And as a result of that, it has affected our men tremendously. So we really need to revisit a lot of things. And especially, I'm appealing to the churches, you know, we need to look at things in a holistic manner and not in a narrow perspective.
Yeah, some excellent points, Vaughn. And, you know, I'm happy that we keep going back to finances, because that is a major source of conflict in many relationships. And I think the reason that we are seeing this is because we have placed a lot of value on the ability to earn money. So I think one of the reasons that, you know, women are seen as less valuable, and it is true, because let's think of even pay inequality. There are many ways that society tells women that we are of less value, right? But I think what we're seeing is that we have placed this exorbitant amount of value on who earns the money. So when the man earns the money, he is powerful. But then the work in the home is seen as less valuable. So despite the fact that a man might work for 8 hours and a woman spends 12 hours on cleaning and cooking and rearing the children and ensuring that everything is in order, right? There is so much less value placed on that. So then when we're asking men to take on some of that responsibility, we're almost asking him to devalue himself, right? And let me just state this while we're on this topic. Men, if you're watching your children, you're not babysitting, right? Because that is some of the things that I hear, that a man says, oh, I have to babysit my children. Why do you think he's saying he has to babysit his children? Because he's saying that is beneath me. That is woman's work. So I think we have to get beyond that concept that money is a more value than the work that is done around the house. And Vaughn, you said it so well. What we should be focused on is a partnership, right? Mm-hmm. So I might be stronger in the area of finance. My husband loves to cook. He's a better chef than I am. So he takes on the responsibility of cooking for the holidays and I sit back. So maybe what we ought to change is the concept of this whole thing of woman work and men work, and don't get me started on changing poopy diapers, right? Because that is like asking a man to go to the moon to get water, many men, which is quite unfortunate. So rather than get stuck between men's work and women's work, why don't we just focus on what is going to be for the benefit of our family? What is going to be able to elevate our family so that we do not have all this conflict in relationships that can potentially lead to violence? But Dexter, let me come over to you. Your thoughts on toxic masculinity and what resonated with you?
I have been awaiting this definition for a while. I researched it, but I really wanted to hear it from you.
Yes.
It is rather interesting, the wording that is used. And when you think of the word toxic, to me, that is not good. That is not good. And I would just, in response to that, I would just share some of my experience. Even while growing up, I was always taught that, you know, you have to be strong. And yes, we have to be strong. But when we consider the context in which it is saying to me that no matter what you go through, you're not supposed to shed any emotions. You're supposed to just suck in everything. A few years ago, I was going through some challenges in my life at around 30 years old. And even at that age, there were others telling me, oh, don't worry about this. Oh, you're not supposed to cry. Oh, just forget about this. And as men, we do have emotions. And we should be able to express it. But going back to some of the things that you mentioned, I do believe that there are roles for males, and I do believe that there are roles for females. What I believe is important, what needs to be done, is a matter of educating young men and young women as to their roles and creating a greater understanding. Because it's not about who makes the most money. In my home, my wife manages my money, and I have no issues with that. She is better at that than me. And as a result, I allow her to do it. And that doesn't mean that I'm not the head of my house. It doesn't mean that. So I believe it's a matter of re-educating and helping young people and individuals understand that there are different roles. And when we understand our roles and function within our capacity, then we will have a beautiful home. Our society will be different. And as we speak on the subject of society, my concept or my belief is that the home is the primary institution of learning. Mm-hmm. So from the home, we need to educate. Instead of just, you know, sharing fancy stories, but share information that will truly impact and help the young people understand their roles clearly. So when difficulties arise, when the woman makes more money, when she is more educated, She will not use that as a weapon or as a tool to belittle her husband. She will always understand and remember her God-given responsibility as a woman in the home. Mm-hmm. I had a perfect example of this a few years ago. A brother of mine, he wasn't that educated, but he was very skilled. And even when we speak on the subject of education, my mind is a little bit warped where that is concerned, because I strongly believe that one can be educated in so many ways. Some of the most educated men I've met were men who have not completed high school. But this brother, he wasn't that educated, but his wife was. I think she had a master's degree. And I think by now she had a doctor's degree. I spent quite a few time interacting with them. And one of the things that I observed is that though she had a bigger job, she made more money, she never disrespected her husband. She never belittled him. He always held the position as head of his home. And I believe that is because of a mutual understanding of responsibilities in the home. That's just my two cents for now.
Well, I have to tell you guys are firing on all cylinders this evening, because you're hitting the points on the nail on the head. And I think what your contribution, Dexter, just brought to mind is that, you know, within our own family circles, we have to figure out what works for us. So in some family situations, a traditional role works just perfectly, as long as people do not feel devalued for their service, as long as we don't have men coming home and say, well, what did you do all day, right? As if, you know, the fact that they're out getting ready, they have to get dressed, they have to get to a job, that is more valuable than what your wife is or your girlfriend is doing at work. So I think we have to figure out in our particular situations, in our particular households, what does that look like? And I'm also happy that you raised the point of not belittling your partner. Because some women are guilty of that, you know, I'm the bread owner, the bread earner, and you know, that again, the source of the income seems to be the source of power in many relationships. So while they may agree on the surface that, yes, I'm going to go out to work and I'm going to earn the income, somehow it diminishes the value that they see in their husbands. And then before you know it, they begin to belittle, as you say, their husbands. So I think it is so important that we do not create static roles where we draw a permanent line in the sand and say, this is what you do, this is what I do. I earn the money, so I'm more valuable. You do the housework, so you're less valuable. And like Glenda said, we can just, you know, live in harmony if we choose to appreciate each other. I see we're coming up on the top of the hour, so we're going to take those phone calls and those Facebook Live comments in a little while. But just a reminder that you're listening to Roots Connections on Q. We are joined by three very intelligent, very informed men, Mr. Rasmo Moses out there in California. And in Dominica, we have Mr. Von Vigilance and Mr. Dexter Honore. And we're talking about how do we overcome toxic masculinity as gender roles continue to change. So do one of you guys want to make any comments before we go to the calls?
Yeah, because we're focusing a lot on the economics. We're focusing a lot on the economics.
Yes.
But the whole thing of socialization is not just an economic thing.
Absolutely.
So I want to reflect. Can I share a poem? It's short.
Yes, go ahead.
Ever since I was small, I tried to understand what it really, really means to be a man. Because some things I learned since I was a baby, like pink for a girl and blue for me. So I ask myself constantly, what does it really, really mean to be manly in a pink and a blue society? My daddy, he said, big boys don't cry. My bigger brother, Junior, tried to explain why. He said, in this life, you gotta be rough and tough. Ain't no woman gonna love you if you are soft. You better act like a man. You better act like a man. My homies, they teach me the craftsmanship of how to maintain a relationship. They say, you better have one or two on the side. And from the main one, Those on the side, you must hide. You better act like a man. You better act like a man. You better act like a man. You better. The media, the movies, entertainment industry teach us about guns, drugs, illicit sex, violence constantly. The magazine ads, the billboards, they go so far. They say in order to be a superstar, you have to wear expensive gear or drive that fancy car. You better act like a man. You better act like a man. Because, I mean, we're talking about funerals and our sisters who died. That type of socialization tells you you can have one or two on the side. You know, you the boss, you know, materialistic, you control things. And I really object to the reference of man as the head of the household. That is a bias. And we say it comes from God. I don't believe God tells us that.
Dexter, you know? Your response?
I will allow Vaughn to go first.
Vaughn?
All right. In terms of the headship, this always comes up, right? And in the assembly where we have a lot of family discussions, very open, we explore things in its entirety. When we speak of head, we don't speak of a manipulative position. We don't speak of head as one that is ever dominant and always has the final say. When we speak of head, it's just as a sense of being that general overseer of the home, you know, the leader.
You are listening to Untapped Potential with Dr. Simone. If you live in Canada, the US, and the UK and are looking for Dominica products, including cocoa sticks, bay rum, coffee, soaps, crafts, and other popular Dominica items, then look no further. You can now shop on buydominicaonline.com, a secure, easy-to-navigate website selling a wide variety of Dominica-made and Dominica-inspired products. When you shop on buydominicaonline.com, you are helping to grow Dominica's economy. Go to buydominicaonline.com and enjoy home away from home.
You've just been listening to a portion of a program that we recently did on toxic masculinity and what can be done. So that was the first part of the conversation, and I'll be sure to bring you the second part of the conversation. And if you would like to share this conversation with anyone, you can see the entire video on pushpast10.com. It is the featured video on pushpast10.com, pushpast10.com. And while you're there, don't forget to click on the past episodes for any of the podcasts of this program you may have missed along the way, as well as the YouTube channel link, which contains all our great programming and all some and additional content as well. So again, thank you for being here for another episode of Untapped Potential. As we get ready for our tip of the week, I thought we would take a closer look on the topic of self-care, because we spend so much time taking care of others that it may be difficult to find some time to take care of ourselves, which is so important because, like I always say, we cannot pour from empty. So if we are not rejuvenating ourselves, if we are not finding time to feel our souls and pursue our interests, then how are we supposed to take care of others? So very important. Self-care is not selfish. Unfortunately, many people have the misconception that if you want to simply take some time for yourself, that you're being selfish. That is absolutely incorrect. And as a matter of fact, in order to better be able to take care of others, you should take care of yourself first. I'm a huge fan of that. Everyone knows that you can expect me to head to the gym as soon as I'm done taking Sophia to school every morning, because that is my example of self-care. So let's take a closer look at this topic today. And this article is from activeminds.org. So again, activeminds.org. And it begins by saying, self-care is not selfish, exactly what I just said. You must fill your own cup before you pour into others. So again, self-care is not selfish. You must fill your own cup before you pour into others. So it begins by saying, self-care and mental health. Ideally, we all engage in regular self-care in which we do the things that make us feel taken care of mentally, physically, and emotionally. But this doesn't always happen, and we may need to stop and take the time to remind ourselves we are important too. Sometimes our feelings become too much and we need to distract ourselves until we are better able to cope. We can also strategically change how we are feeling when things become too overwhelming. What is self-care? Self-care is important to maintaining a healthy relationship with yourself. It means doing things to take care of our minds, bodies, and souls by engaging in activities that promote well-being and reduce stress. Doing so enhances our ability to live fully, vibrantly, and effectively. The practice of self-care also reminds both you and others that your needs are valid and a priority. Examples of self-care: clean, cook or bake, cross something off your to-do list, exercise, get a massage, go for a walk, listen to music or podcasts, make art, meditation, mindfulness exercises, play a game, practice deep breathing, read, take a bath, take a nap, watch TV or a movie, yoga. So it continues by saying, distraction as a strategy. Why should I distract myself? Activities are a great way for us to distract ourselves from our current emotions until we are better able to cope. When our level of distress is too high, we may not be able to effectively handle a situation and need ways to bring our emotional state down. Some suggestions may seem similar to self-care, but distraction activities serve a different purpose. One person's self-care activity is another person's distraction. So it goes on with a list of distractions such as calling a friend, go out to eat, go to an event, listen to music or podcast again. So a very important article. Again, this is from activeminds.org, and it stresses on the importance of self-care. So if you would like to read the rest of the information, you can do so at www.activeminds.org. Very important that we take care of ourselves in order to be able to take care of others. So I want to thank you again for being here for another episode of Untapped Potential on TDN Radio with Dr. Simone. I always look forward to spending this time with you as we get powered up and energized for the week ahead, and we remind ourselves of the important life goals that we ought to be working on. So I look forward to being here with you again next week, same time, 5:30 Eastern Standard Time on TDN Radio. And before I leave, I also want to remind you of some important goals that we are working on as well. So you can expect some new and exciting books coming out soon. As a matter of fact, I think I'm going to try to have the journal to accompany Push Past 10 out this week. So very exciting. So if you're looking for an accountability tool in terms of what you're eating, how you're working out, how you're moving, then you will want to take a look. You would want to jump back on to Push Past 10, PushPast10, where I will have a link to the Push Past 10 journal, a simple journal that will help us to be more accountable. So we have a lot of things in the works coming up for you. So you want to follow Push Past 10, especially on Facebook. If you're on Facebook at Push Past 10 Media on Facebook, you can subscribe to our YouTube channel. And I want to thank the over 500 people who have subscribed to the YouTube channel, and it continues to grow. So we are building a network. We are building collaborations. We are creating those tools for our toolbox to help our people to be successful. So very exciting, you know, it's very exciting to be engaged in this type of work. So again, thank you for being here. We look forward to being with you next week at the same time. Don't forget, your life story is your strength. Remember to tap into your potential every day. Remember to stay strong, stay positive, stay active, and stay engaged. Until we meet back here next week at the same time, you have yourself a wonderful week.